Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Minister Dante Fortson. I know it's been a while, but I am back with a new episode of The Breakdown. And for all of you just tuning in, I am going to be talking tonight about black-on-black violence, riots, and the media. And before I get to that, I just want to remind everybody, my book, As the Days of Noah Were, The Sons of God and the Coming Apocalypse, that's still available on Amazon. Just type in my name and you can find it, or type in the name of the book. And also my book, Beyond Flesh and Blood, The Ultimate Guide to Angels and Demons, has some really good reviews on there. So if you're looking for a good book about angels and demons, I would suggest you go check that out. And also subscribe to my website, ministerfortson.com. It's where you can catch the latest articles, stay up to date on some of the latest shows, and get a whole bunch of information. I'm going to be writing a lot more. I just really started getting back into it. My computer went down, and I didn't have access to the internet for a while. So I'm back now, and yeah, so let's go ahead and jump into this. Only have about 30 minutes to do this show, and we should get into some really interesting content. All right, so let's start out. The reason I wanted to touch on this subject is because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And a lot of it's media hype. A lot of it's 100% real. And it's only really getting out there right now because of social media. And one of the things that I always try to tell people is that just because you're just now hearing about it doesn't mean it hasn't been going on. And I'll give you an example of one of the things that set off racial tension in America really, really early on. Was the Rodney King riots. The riots brought attention to the Rodney King beating, or more attention than it already had. And the reason people were so mad is because there was an injustice. And the Rodney King incident was one incident among many. Now, black people had been saying this stuff had been going on, this kind of abuse by the police had been going on. Rodney King was one of the first people to be caught on film getting beat by the police. So this stuff had been decades in the making, and nobody could see it, and so people thought it was being over-exaggerated until they seen, you know, the Rodney King footage, until they saw the footage. So as social media has progressed, we start seeing a lot more incidents similar to the Rodney King incident. And so now it's progressed to a point where everybody knows it's out there, and a lot of people want to close the bottle. They want to put the genie back in the bottle, but it's too late. They are being forced to see what people have been saying is going on for decades. And so it gives rise to this, what I call ignorant thinking. And when I say ignorant thinking, this is coming from people that are uninformed, and unfortunately, those uninformed people have a huge platform, and that platform is the media. You have Fox News, and you have CNN, MSNBC, all those other media outlets. However, in my opinion, the absolute worst news media is Fox News. They come up with some of the most ignorant ideologies, and they push them out there, and people repeat these. For whatever reason, people don't think this stuff through. They heard it on Fox, and they think it's a good idea, so they say it out loud. I'll give you one example. Why don't black people riot or protest about black-on-black violence? Now, it sounds good to say when you're around other people who are ignorant to the situation and don't know what's going on. However, to fully understand what's going on, you have to understand why these people are rioting. They're not rioting because a white guy killed a black guy. That's not the problem. The problem is injustice. So what you'll have is you'll have these ignorant people, especially on Facebook, they'll post pictures of a bunch of black people who are inmates, who have been arrested, who have been convicted, who are in jail for their crime, and they'll say, why weren't there any protests about this? Now, the reason I call it ignorant is because why would somebody protest when those people are in jail? Justice has been served. Those people were caught. They were put through the justice system. They're in jail. They're serving time for that. There is a big difference between that and having a cop or a citizen murder an unarmed teenager. And then not only are they not arrested, they get a paid vacation. They are rewarded for murdering people. That's the difference. That's why there's riots. That's why there's protests. The George Zimmerman case. George Zimmerman, he followed, first of all, George Zimmerman broke his own neighborhood watch rules, which said that they could not have firearms while on patrol. And I feel like if you are head of your neighborhood watch and you don't want to abide by your own neighborhood watch rules, don't become head of the neighborhood watch. Simple as that. Anyway, back to the point. He broke his own neighborhood watch rules, took his gun out against the neighborhood watch rules, so he was already violating that. He followed a 17-year-old kid around in a truck at night in the rain, then got out of his car after ignoring the police, and then gets into a confrontation and kills an unarmed 17-year-old kid. Now, to me, any grown person will look at that and say, why is a grown man following a 17-year-old kid around in the dark and then gets out of his car and follows him? What reason? If you change that scenario and said, you know, it was a female walking at night, however old, she was, we'll say 17-year-old female walking at night, and a guy is following her in a truck, and the guy gets out and approaches her, she's probably going to run or fight or pepper spray him or something. That's just what would happen. And so it makes sense to me that a male would either run or fight. And in this case, he chose to defend his life. He had as much right to defend his life. And people, for whatever reason, they think George Zimmerman had the right to kill him for defending himself, which brings us back to the biased media. When George Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin, Fox News backed him. Fox News talked about gun rights, and they supported him, and their followers supported him. However, what got interesting is when George Zimmerman assaulted his father-in-law. Suddenly, Fox News and the followers had nothing to say. They had the police recordings. His wife called the police. His ex-wife called the police. She also was in the media saying that she thought George Zimmerman murdered Trayvon Martin. His best friend, who is no longer friends with him now, the best friend and the wife, also said that they thought he committed murder and that he would fly off the handle. And so as we started to see more reports come out about Zimmerman, we found out that he had previously been in an altercation with a police officer, and those charges were dropped while his dad was a judge. He had previously been accused by an ex-girlfriend of assaulting her, and those charges were eventually dropped. Now, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Don't get it confused. Just because charges are dropped doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just meant the party that it happened to didn't feel like going through the process, or they reconciled and they didn't want to put the person in jail. Now, we have those two violent incidences previous to the Trayvon Martin shooting. Then we have the Trayvon Martin shooting. And then after the Trayvon Martin shooting, we have the assault on the father-in-law that's called in, and then the new girlfriend, after his divorce with his wife, excuse me, the new girlfriend claims that he assaulted her, and most recently, he gets into a road rage and gets shot at. So this guy has a history of violence, and again, when you get into media bias, you have to wonder, why did Fox News not put out his full history prior to the shooting, and why now is Fox News silent about all the violent encounters that he's had after the Trayvon Martin shooting? In my opinion, media, Fox News, CNN, again, all of them fall into the same thing. You have Fox News, which is Republican or conservative, and you have CNN, MSNBC, all the other ones that tend to lean towards Democrats or liberals. And depending on what you're watching, you'll find different kinds of propaganda. We looked at Fox News. We looked at an example of the hypocrisy of Fox News and their issues when it comes to certain things like gun control and violence. Now, CNN and MSNBC are terrible, and I'll use Sandy Hook as an example. When Sandy Hook happened, the original reports on the day of the shooting, and you can actually go and get on YouTube or Google this, you'll see that the original reports that they were getting from the police, now, again, police officers, people who are trained to use firearms, people who I believe are competent in identifying a firearm. I won't get into the whole police thing, but I'll say they're competent at identifying firearms. The original reports that came out said that only handguns were used. The original reports said that four handguns were used. So I want you to let that sink in for a second. Police officers said four handguns and only handguns were found in the school. Then they showed video footage of the police pulling a rifle out of the trunk of the car. And the anchor man said that the long gun was found in the trunk. The long gun or the rifle was found in the trunk of the car. They had footage of it being pulled out and handled. You have the police saying only four handguns were found. And yet, by the time the coroner got on TV to talk about the autopsy, he said that only the AR-15 was used in the shootings. Then Obama got on TV, and they started talking about gun control, gun violence, and everything else. And Piers Morgan had his show at the time, and he got on there, and Piers Morgan talked about gun control in America. And yet not once did they talk about controlling handguns. And yet CNN, CNBC, MSN, all these guys were pushing this anti-assault rifle, and again, I use that term loosely, this anti-assault rifle ban, even though the police said that there were only handguns in the school. So you have to wonder, were the police incompetent, or were these people outright lying? I mean, everybody can't be right. You can't have only handguns in the building and yet say that all the bullet wounds were caused by an assault rifle. Some group has to be lying. It's either the police or it's either the politician. And that kind of media reporting is what makes me personally not trust the media. And it just, this is a topic that really you kind of have to approach carefully because people have so many opinions on it. Now, I kind of want to move on to the issue of race baiting. I always found this to be an interesting terminology. And I always find it interesting that it only comes up when it referenced with certain people, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Obama, as if they started all the racial tension in America, as if racial tension did not exist before these people came along. And let me give you another example of media bias or how the media stretches the truth. They accuse Obama, Sharpton, and Jackson of race baiting on Fox News. Yet, if you pay attention to what happened on Fox News before Sharpton got his own show, he was a regular guest on Fox News constantly. They used the race issue as an excuse to bring Sharpton on. So if they were so upset about him being a race baiter, why did they give him so much media time with O'Reilly? That's a question you have to ask. And then on top of that, why is it that O'Reilly, I believe he donated, is either $25,000 or $30,000 to Sharpton? If he's so opposed to Sharpton, why give his organization $30,000 or $25,000, whatever it was? These guys are behind the scenes working together. Now, I don't know how many of you watch The Boondocks. It's a cartoon. It's really a black cartoon. If you didn't grow up around like a lot of the stuff that black people do, you probably won't relate to it. However, they had an interesting episode. Aaron Magruder is, to me, one of the most brilliant political satire illustrators. I'm not sure what you call them. But basically, The Boondocks started off as political satire, the comic strip, not the cartoon. The comic strip was political satire, social issues, and it was done under the depiction of kids. You had Huey Freeman, who was like very politically aware. You had Riley, who was ignorant, and then you had the girl who was kind of easily influenced by both. And it was always some poke at politics. Well, anyway, in the cartoon, they did an episode where they had a character called Reverend Lovejoy, who was just like Reverend Al Sharpton. And basically, he was the same exact character. And then they had Ann Coulter, which made it real interesting. Because Ann Coulter, if those of you who are familiar with Ann Coulter, you know what she talks about, you know what she's about. what made it funny was behind the scenes, after they would get on TV, they were all friends. And so to make it interesting, Reverend Lovejoy would call Ann Coulter and have her get on TV with him to argue against him, and she would do the same in order to gather all this media attention and collect paychecks. All these people were in it together. So while she's one hand calling him, you know, a racist and a bigot, and he's calling her a racist and a bigot, they're behind the scenes going to lunch together, hanging out, and best of friends. And I personally believe it's like that, because right now, I don't know anybody that doesn't like me that I could call and say, hey, my organization needs $25,000, $30,000. Can I get it from you? So this is what I mean. Bill O'Reilly and Al Sharpton have somewhat of a rapport to where one of them is comfortable giving the other one $25,000, $30,000. So that was my point on race baiting. Don't believe the hype. Fox News also plays on the race card, really. Whenever they get a new black anchor or a new black Republican, they push him or her ridiculously. Stacey Dash is an example. When Stacey Dash came to Fox News, every conservative I know wanted to talk about, look, there's a black Republican. Stacey Dash agrees with this. And I'm like, who cares? No, Stacey Dash hasn't been relevant for forever. Nobody cares. Nobody cares that Juan is black. Nobody cares about Herman Cain being black. And this irritated me, too, during the election. How do you call Obama a race baiter and in the same breath say, well, he's only half black? Herman Cain said it, and people started repeating it. Now, if you're going to bring race into it while calling him a race baiter, that puts you on the same level. So when conservatives point out that, hey, we got this black guy that agrees with us, it's laughable. Because on the other hand, those same conservatives call Sharpton, Jackson, and Obama race baiters for mentioning race. So those are things you have to really kind of pay attention to. And this is why I tell people, the media is very controlled, and most people know that. The media is controlled, but the media also tries to brainwash you. Don't get it confused. Fox News is about brainwashing just as much as MSNBC or CNN. And let me point out, too, that Fox, the company that puts out Fox News, which is traditionally conservative, and a lot of Christians identify with conservative, and a lot of Christians identify with liberal as well, so don't get it confused and act like there aren't any liberal Christians. Conservative Christians identify with Fox News. Now, Fox News tends to, or I'm sorry, let me back up real quick before I get into this other point. Fox, the station that owns Fox News, also is the same station that puts out The Simpsons, Family Guy, Cleveland Show, and American Dad, which all poke fun at Christianity. They all poke fun at Christian values. Not only that, Fox, which has Fox News, again, which is traditionally conservative, and Christians identify with conservative, some of them, they also own Nat Geo. Nat Geo pushes evolution, an anti-God position. So don't be confused by this channel that claims to be or push conservative values or this one small segment of their overall big picture, I guess you would say. It's like one frame in their overall picture. On one hand, they're pushing anti-God, Christian, or making fun of Christians on one channel. They're pushing evolution on another channel, and then they're coming and saying, hey, Christians, come to us. We have conservative news that benefits you. So they're trying to get the money. They're hitting all sides of the thing. So don't be confused by Fox. In fact, one of my favorite documentaries, I can't speak, I'm sorry. One of my favorite documentaries that I've seen is called Outfoxed. And what it is at first when I watched it or started to watch it, I thought it was just a bunch of people, you know, that I thought these people just hated Fox News and just like, you know, any other news source. However, once you learn who is behind the documentary, it starts to make you wonder, like, what is it about Fox News that would make these people do this? And in the documentary, they tell you. Now, the people that made the documentary Outfoxed are all former employees of Fox News and former guests. This isn't just some camera person that, hey, I want to do some digging and find out about Fox News, so I'm going to put a bunch of biased sources here. No, these are people who once got paychecks from this company. These are people who were invited on the show by this company, and these people thought what Fox did was so horrible and biased and unfair and unbalanced that they needed to make a documentary to inform the general public about what was going on at Fox News. And I find that to be super interesting. So if you get a chance, check out the documentary Outfoxed. It's spelled Outfoxed, one word, Outfoxed. It'll kind of change your perspective on a lot of things. Another gripe I have with Fox, and also this applies to MSNBC and CNN as well. I'm going to talk about what they did during the last election in 2012. I know it was 3 years ago. However, we have another election coming up next year, and I think it's relevant to look back at what happened at last election. Fox News pushed and pushed and pushed Romney before the primary, after the – or during the primary, and they pretty much – blacked out Ron Paul's everything. They ignored Ron Paul, and there's even clips on the internet of where the live anchor man, or the guy in the field, whatever he's called, he said that, you know, I'm going to go visit the Ron Paul part later. And one of the anchor men at the station says, you know, bring us the Romney stuff, you can keep the Ron Paul stuff. Now, why is it that they wanted to out Ron Paul from the very beginning? You have to ask yourself that. Judge Napolitano, I believe I'm pronouncing his name right. If not, I apologize. You can correct me on it through my website. Judge Napolitano, he had a show on Fox News, and he supported Ron Paul, and he talked about Ron Paul and what was really going on with the election, and they canceled his show because they are a propaganda machine. Ron Paul was cheated in the primary. It came out that the results were being lied about. They were counting the results on the spot, and they knew that multiple counties had Ron Paul as the winner. And yet, when these counties were announced during the primary, they all said Romney won. And people started coming out saying, no, that's a lie. Ron Paul won this county or this city or this district. They came out and said, Ron Paul won this. We counted the votes. Even though you told us not to, we did it anyway. And so basically the election was stolen. The delegates were tweeting from inside the bus, the bus is moving and they won't let us out until after the vote was over. They didn't want Ron Paul in there. So they basically kidnapped the delegates. The delegates tweeted from the bus. Now, while all this was going on, there was a vote, and basically the ayes have it, the nays get ignored. So they voted, and you can clearly see during this vote that – it was about 50-50 split. And the lady comes up and she just calls it. She just calls it for the eyes. Even though you can tell it's a 50-50 split, you can go online and Google it up. 2012 election fraud, GOP election fraud, you'll get a lot of stuff coming from there. My point is Fox News didn't report it. And at the same time, the same exact thing happened at the Democratic National Convention, the DNC. They had a vote. It was 50-50 split between the ayes and the nays. And a guy comes up, and they catch him on the microphone. His microphone is on, and he said, just call it for the ayes. And the guy looked at him because he's like, what should I do? He took the vote two or three times. He said, what should I do? And the guy looked at him. He said, just call it for the ayes. And they called it as a two-thirds vote when it was clearly not a two-thirds vote, and none of the liberal mainstream media outlets reported this. This stuff was coming through on the internet and smaller news sources. So you have to understand that there is a huge media bias that's going on. And media is using race to get ratings and cash. I know some people think they're trying to start a race war, which won't happen, and which I'll tell you why it won't happen. I'll give you another quick example. The Trayvon Martin protest. Now, I heard so many people talking about the media trying to do a race war. They're trying to start a race war. They're trying to get people up in arms and blah, 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 blah. What you were not being shown were the pictures being posted coming out of the protest. There was one picture where you had Asian, black, white, Mexican all standing together in protest against the murder of Trayvon Martin. So if the media was trying to start a race war, how is it that all these people of different races were banding together to protest this injustice? It's not about a race war. It's about cash. It's about ratings. When they get more ratings, they can get more advertisers. The more advertisers they have, the less space they have available. And when you don't have space available, you can up your price. It's called supply and demand. But don't get it confused. All these channels, all these people talking about race baiters, none of them are above using race for ratings. Don't get that confused. Race for ratings. Anything controversial, which a racial issue is, racial topics, they will use it to get their ratings up. All the while telling you that, hey, these other guys are race pimps. These other guys are race baiters. But we have the Black Republican over here. Watch our show. Black people agree that Herman Cain should be elected. We have Stacey Dash. We have Sheryl Underwood. We have Juan, whatever his name is. We have Ben Carson. We have all these other guys. Like, it's an endless list of them. But the point is, they pitch the race, say, hey, these black guys agree that that black guy over there for the Democrats is only half black. Like, it's just funny to me. So I think it's good to talk about these topics. I think it's good to get it out in the open and really just talk about some of the stuff that's going on. Been away from, you know, shows for a while, so I wanted to kind of address this. And for those of you who haven't been to the website in a while, you can check out some of the new content I have on there. I'm actually doing a series called Race Relations in the Bible, where we're starting from Adam and Eve, and we're going through, and we're just going to touch on just really the different races in the Bible, the interactions between different people in the Bible. It's not about saying, hey, Adam and Eve were black or white or Mexican or Indian. It's not about that. It's talking about how the cultures blended. One of the things that we're going to get into on part three is Abraham. Abraham's journey from the Middle East to Africa. Abraham's alliance with the Nephilim. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Abraham, his cousin Lot, the Moabites. I don't know if we'll get into the Moabites just yet. I only have so much room for content. But, yeah, we're going to get into a lot of the Abraham stuff. Abraham marrying three different women. Let me see. Let me go back. Abraham marrying at least two different women. I believe it was, yeah, it was three. It was Keturah, Hagar, and Sarah, I believe. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Abraham's three different women. We're going to talk about Moses marrying the Ethiopian. We're going to talk about Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. I mean, we're going to talk about the Samaritans, the Jews, all the tribes in the Promised Land. So as the series progresses, we're going to get into a lot of deep stuff. So make sure you subscribe to the website. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you get over to Amazon. Check out some of the books. And if you have any questions or comments about this show or any of the articles, feel free to leave them on the website. And I guess I will let you know when the next show is. I don't really have a set time. So basically the show will be done by ear, but it will always be at 9 p.m. on whatever day I do it. And I will always post the announcement on my website the day of, maybe a couple of days before. So until next time, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you go to Amazon and have a blessed, safe, and happy weekend.